Our sermon today is based on the reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Thank you, God, for the chance to find a new beginning and life anew with you. Well, I couldn't find anyone in the New Testament whose name started with the letter Y for our Through the Bible Z through A series. So I fell back on the tried and true, a familiar saying of Jesus. You can never go wrong with quoting Jesus and studying his words. But why did Nicodemus come to see Jesus at night? Lots of people have lots of different speculations. One source said Nicodemus knew how busy Jesus was during the day, so he thought it would be best to wait and see him at night when no one else was around and he could have Jesus' full attention to himself. But I think the reason is plain to see, even though it was dark. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, part of the sect who followed the Jewish law to a T and who prided themselves on just how loyal and legalistic they were. Jesus threw a wrench in all of their pomp and certainty by saying new and marvelous things about how to serve God. It wasn't in the minuscule details of tithing exactly the right amount of herbs or keeping the Sabbath so rigidly, which the Pharisees did. No, Jesus was saying the best way to serve God was to serve God's people, all of God's people, no matter who they were. So it harshed the Pharisees' buzz to hear this because it meant they really shouldn't look down on other people and proclaim themselves better than anybody else because they were so strict about following the law, not like all those others who didn't. The Pharisees did not like Jesus at all. They were constantly trying to trap him and trip him up to draw the people's fascination and attention back to them so they could tell the people what to do. But this Pharisee, this Nicodemus, something about Jesus intrigued him so much so that he just had to go visit him. He went at night because straight up he didn't want anyone else to see him visiting the radical rabbi. Heavens, what would everyone else think if they knew where he was going and who he was seeing? Nicodemus had a reputation to maintain as a leader of the separatists, so he preserved it by visiting Jesus under cover of night when no one else was around and no one could rat him out to the other Pharisees. The visit started out well enough with a little bit of flattery from the Pharisee. "We know you are a teacher sent from God." Well, who is this we? Did Nicodemus mean to include his fellow Pharisees in that we? What a confession that would be if they could agree that Jesus was indeed sent from God. Or was Nicodemus saying we, meaning just himself, the royal we? It's an intriguing question because when Jesus answered him by saying, "You must be born again," he used the plural form of you, as they say in Kentucky, "all y'all." It meant Nicodemus back then and all of us right now. How had Nicodemus found out about Jesus? Had he actually witnessed some of his miracles? Had he been present at Cana when Jesus turned the water into wine, his first miracle? Had Nicodemus seen a healing, a blind person given sight, a mute person given the power of speech, a lame person being made to walk again? Something had sparked Nicodemus' curiosity, and so he came to see Jesus and talk to him and learn more about him. Jesus, knowing just what Nicodemus needed, told him, "You must be born again." Anothen, the word Jesus used in the phrase that's translated born again, in Greek can mean three things: born again, born anew, born from above. Nicodemus heard Nathan as born again, and he was confused. Born again? How can you enter your mother's womb a second time after you've already grown old and be born again? Nicodemus shows us here that sometimes we aren't to take the things Jesus said literally. Of course, we can never go back into the wombs of our mothers and experience birth again, but we can enter the womb of God and experience a new birth. Don't be put off by the notion of God having or even being a womb. God knows all about wombs. God created them, right? For a purpose and a reason. As Jesus explained to Nicodemus, our first birth was a human type of birth. We came into the world fresh and innocent, and we gave it a good shot, but all of us, every one of us, messed up sooner or later. Remember how it says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We succumbed to sin and sacrificed our purity and perfection. That idea could send us into a spiral of despair, thinking we've ruined our chances, we're lost, we're doomed, there's no saving or redeeming us. But then God steps in and through Jesus reassures us, yes, we can have a second chance. Yes, we can be redeemed. Yes, we can have a new life, a spiritual life, born from the womb of God. What's it like in a womb? It's warm and watery, snug and secure, dark and dreamy. A baby thinks this is what it's always going to be like, and then it's born. And then it experiences things like light and heat and hunger and noise and air and breathing. No wonder babies cry when they first emerge into the world. And they flail their arms and legs about, and that's another startling sensation. There's nothing confining them, no boundaries, nothing stopping them from moving their limbs. They can reach out and encounter new things. There's nothing to stop them. It's so much all at once that they can't help but cry. But it's also a cry of wonder because they learn right away that life is bigger and better than the confines of the womb. One commentator said, the natural birth opens our natural senses, our eyesight, hearing, tasting, etc., and thereby discloses natural things. So the spiritual birth opens our spiritual senses. For us, born from above, born of the Spirit, after we have met Jesus face to face as Nicodemus did, for us, life is suddenly bigger and better. There are no boundaries now, nothing to constrain and contain us. We've all inherited genes from our human parents and our ancestors. Our genes determine and dictate our physical characteristics and traits, whether we have brown hair or blonde hair, brown eyes or blue eyes, whether we're tall or short, sometimes whether we have a predisposition to certain diseases or conditions. It all comes together as we form in our mother's wombs. When we are formed anew in God's womb, we take on the characteristics and traits of our heavenly parent. We inherit all of God's good traits and characteristics, love, kindness, patience, as well as the traits and characteristics Jesus displayed, servanthood, wisdom, gentleness, selflessness. These are the fruits of the Spirit along with the others, joy, peace, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. Born again in a spiritual, not a literal, not a physical way, these attributes become part of our new DNA. We have become God's very own children, just as Jesus was God's very own son. We leave the darkness and restrictions of the old womb, our old way of being, and are birthed into God's own marvelous light. Another reason given for Nicodemus's nighttime visit was that it was a metaphor for the gospel writer John, that nighttime was a time of darkness and disenchantment, disbelief, and yes, ignorance. The new teaching Jesus shared with Nicodemus was so mind-boggling and earth-shattering that Nicodemus's reaction was one of wonder. How can these things be? He left Jesus' presence still in the dark, still unable to grasp exactly what it meant to be born again, born from above, born anew. Did Jesus ever get to him? Did he ever make it into the light? As a Pharisee, Nicodemus thought he had it made in the shade. He thought that because he was a descendant of Father Abraham, he was all right, and he didn't need to change or grow or be born again, born anew, born from above. But he learned from Jesus that his smug self-assurance that he already had a place in heaven and God accepted him because he was a Pharisee, that was all wrong. Yes, indeed, he had to change. Did he? We run into Nicodemus later in John's gospel where he's cautiously defending Jesus against his fellow Pharisees. And we run into him once again at night after the crucifixion when he and Joseph of Arimathea worked together to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Did he get it then? Joseph was a secret follower of Jesus. Perhaps by then, Nicodemus was too. But perhaps at the moment when they put the 100-pound mixture of myrrh and aloes on Jesus' body, tucking them into the strips of linen that would bind his body, perhaps Nicodemus had returned to doubt and indifference. He didn't know that another kind of rebirth and new beginning, Jesus' resurrection, was about to happen to give him hope again and show him the truth of what Jesus had told him before. Maybe Nicodemus was one of those to whom Jesus appeared after he rose from the grave. And perhaps at that moment, Nicodemus finally fully understood what Jesus had told him. You must be born again, anew, from above. And those of you who believe in me will rise again, just as I have, born by the Spirit into the kingdom of God, a spiritual realm of everlasting life. Yes, a second chance. Leave behind the narrow, confining worldly womb you knew and step into something different and infinitely, eternally better. A new life with new principles and new perceptions and a new purpose and no boundaries. Born again, born anew, born from above, yes, to all three. A whole new life available to you and you and you, to all y'all. Let us pray. God of new life and second chances and new beginnings, we thank you for sending Jesus to us. May we come to him with our hearts wide open, ready for him to lead us in your kingdom of love and light and eternal life. Amen.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. My love is not me.